Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 23, please. Put your finger in the book of Luke, chapter number 23. And then I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 4. You should be able to say this verse now without even looking at it. The Word of God said in Psalm chapter 4, "Stand in awe and sin not." Is that right? "Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah." Let's read it together. "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah." I've known for some time that God would be directing my heart in this series of messages to Calvary. I've known that for some time. I didn't know exactly when. But as I walked in the prison on Friday, Brother Steve, I was sharing with the chaplain. I realized the chaplain is a volunteer chaplain. He's with Rock of Ages. And I realized he's in and out of a lot of churches like I was when I was a missionary, that he has opportunity to preach in a lot of different places. And I was just sharing with him what God had put on my heart a month or so back, and how that we've been looking at the stories in the Bible and trying to jump into it and trying to really enter into it, not just read over it, not just ho-hum, but to stand in awe of our Lord and what He's doing, what He's done, what He's going to do. And here's what the chaplain said to me. He's looking at the ground. We were walking in. He shook his head. He said, "Preacher," he said, "we don't even stand in awe of Calvary anymore." Well, I didn't think much about that. I mean, knowing that sometime or another, but this morning early, real early, before daylight, the Lord woke me. And He wants us to stand in awe of Calvary this morning. It's time. There's a young lady here, Kenzie, that got saved Wednesday night. She got on the van and she wanted to use the telephone for God's glory. She wanted to call a bunch of people and tell them she had been saved. I thought about... I thought about Sister Tanita, the song, "I've Been to Calvary." If you've been saved, you've been to Calvary. There ain't no other place you can meet Him. Say amen. But this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach out of Luke chapter 23. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. Thank You, Father, for the truths that are set forth before us today. Lord, I pray today for those that are sick and afflicted, especially, Lord, today for Brother Dan, that You'd raise him up. Especially, Lord, for Brother Brian as he's coming off of another series of treatments, coming home after a while. Keep he and Sister Kim safe, Lord. Lord, I do pray that our Father, that You'd be with Brother Larry as he's operated on tomorrow. I do pray, Lord, and thank You that Brother Jim's able to be back with us this morning. Lord, it's just a blessing. Lord, Sister Tina had it right a while ago when she said, "I had to tell the Lord I'm sorry." Because, Lord, truly Calvary will warm our hearts and keep us from the routine of prayer, just the routine of walking with God, just the routine of going to church. Lord, warm our hearts today. Help us to stand in awe of Your presence, of Your power. And I pray, Lord Jesus, today You'd speak to hearts. Lord, only You can do that. I can speak to ears, and I thank You for the privilege to do that. Lord, I pray the blessed Holy Spirit would speak to hearts this day. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter number 23, we'll begin in verse number 27. Today I'd like for us, if we could, to just stand in all for a few minutes of this place called Calvary. You find that in verse 33. In verse 27, the Bible said, "And there followed him a great company of people." Can I say this to you today? There's still a great company following him. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalms that there was great company that published the Word of God, that got the Word of God out, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" I want to stop right there and bring the first point in the message today. That is the revelation that we see here at Calvary. Jesus is using this headed to the cross as a time. Even he's still ministering even in the end. He's still teaching even in the end. And he wants to reveal some things. There are people that are a great company that are following him, and the Bible said that the daughters there, the ladies, the women, are weeping. They realize, beloved, this is not going to be pretty. They've seen it before. Crucifixion is one of the most horrible, horrible ways that anybody could die. And they knew that the one that they loved, the one that they had walked with, the one that they had seen do so many miracles was about to be crucified. I closed my eyes this morning and tried to listen to the hammer hitting the nails. I stood off in the shadows this morning thinking about the fact, beloved, listen, that it wasn't the soldiers, but it was my sin that nailed him to that old rugged cross. Not only did it nail him there, it held him there. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels. But all, beloved, listen, he chose to finish the work that he could call me to come to where he was, that I could be saved by the grace of God. In the revelation, I want you to see two things this morning, and they're both very important. I want you to see the sorrow. The Word of God said, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." There was a great sorrow. Jesus tells them in John chapter 16 that their sorrow is going to be turned into joy. They don't understand that right now, but they're going to before long. Say, how long is it going to take? About 3 days. And they're going to understand that he got up just like he said. Amen. Their sorrow. And I want you to understand today that as we look at Calvary and look at the revelation, what's being revealed here, that, beloved, it ain't going to be long and our sorrow is going to be turned into joy. The burdens are heavy. The burdens are many. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one thing that's not going to heaven with me, and that's the burdens. They're going to be left here, amen? And I thank the Lord for that. The second thing that's revealed, and this is very important, is the Scriptures. I'm able to take my Bible program, and when I search for a word or search for a phrase, I'm able to set the range within where I'm searching. So I set the range for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this morning and searched for the word fulfilled, because God had spoke to my heart here about the Scripture that's being fulfilled at Calvary. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand how God works like that." Well, if you look in verse number 30, the Bible said, "They shall begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." How many knows that's in the Bible in another place? How many knows where it is? It's over in Revelation chapter number 6. That's not talking about our day. That's talking about the day of tribulation, the great tribulation, the day of Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble. The Word of God calls it, amen. And Jesus is going to come. The church is going to go to be with Jesus, meet him in the clouds. And then all hell, beloved, listen, the prince of the power of the air is going to pretend like he's the prince of peace. The world's going to suck it in, going to believe a lie and be damned, amen. But 3.5 years into it, beloved, Israel's going to realize they've been snookered, that they believed a lie. And all hell's going to break loose on this earth. In the middle of the tribulation. He said, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with Calvary. Let me show you. Jesus headed to the cross. He's wanting to emphasize, beloved, what you're about to see has been prophesied. It's Scripture that's being fulfilled. Amen? Now listen, if the Scripture that had already been prophesied is being fulfilled, I want you to understand this morning the Scripture that's been prophesied and not yet fulfilled will be fulfilled. Amen. Just as sure as there's Calvary, there's going to be 100-pound hailstones. Just as sure as there's Calvary, beloved, there's going to be 1/3 of the water supply turned to blood. Just as sure as there's Calvary, 1/3 of the earth will be on fire all at the same time. This is just in the tribulation. Just as sure as there's Calvary, the day's coming when the heavens and the earth shall melt with fervent heat. Just as sure as there's Calvary. God said, I'm not going to do it again with water. I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. That's my covenant. But I'm telling you, beloved, the earth will be destroyed with fire the next time. Just like they thought Noah was crazy, his boys were crazy, they think we're crazy, but we're going to find out who the crazy ones are after a while. I'm glad I'm in the ark. Glad, thank God, I've been born again. Think about these scripture. Jesus, in Matthew 26 and verse 53 and 54, he said, thinkest thou I cannot pray to my Father? He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. Verse 54, but how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. In verse 56, but all was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Matthew 27 and verse number 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. In Matthew 27, 35, they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 28, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. That's Isaiah 53. John 18, 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. John 19, 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. In John 19, 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Amen. Beloved, listen, there's a revelation taking place as we're being introduced to Calvary. All of this is happening, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. It'd take a fool. It'd take a fool to believe that God is going to fulfill the Scripture at Calvary and not fulfill the rest of everything that he has said in his Word. In John 19, 36, for these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Let me say this to you this morning. When they came on the Passover, They came to Jesus. Those who were being crucified, many of you already know this, but the only way they could get a breath of air was to push up with their feet. So they would push up with their feet and they could get a breath into their lungs. I've been told as I've studied that their lungs many times felt like they were on fire. But when they came to Jesus to break his legs, they would break the legs of those being crucified because they wanted them to finish dying now and get them down from the cross because it was the Passover. But when they came to Jesus, he had already given up the ghost. He had already said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You say, preacher, why did it happen like that? That the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. So instead of breaking his legs, they took a spear and put it under his ribs. And forthwith the word of God said came blood and water. I'm telling you this morning, it's a dangerous thing not to look at the Bible and understand that what's been fulfilled at Calvary is perfect evidence to you and I that what, Brother John, I can't believe how this goes with Sunday school, that what he's already said it. It's not happened yet. But honey, just as sure, surely you believe that at the cross Jesus died for you and died for me. Then, beloved, just as sure, then everything else he has said will be fulfilled. A.W. Tozer said something, and I want you to listen closely to this, please. He said, the old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me right now. If you don't believe what I'm saying, there's places you can go to church in Kingsport and be entertained this morning. A.W. Tozer said, the old cross slew men. What do you mean? That's where people died. Did you understand when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, that we're supposed to die to ourselves and die to sin and live for the Savior? That's the old cross. We're living in a generation don't want to hear about the old cross. They want that new cross. They want that cross that entertains them. Then A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the old cross condemned. He said, the new cross amuses. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. God, deliver us from church that's an amusement park. God, deliver us from wanting to get up on Sunday morning and go hear somebody teach a Sunday school lesson to entertain us, or listen to a choir that would entertain us, or listen to a so-called preacher that would just entertain us. We don't need entertainment. We need worship. We need to stand in awe of Calvary. The revelation in what Brother A.W. Tozer said, he said the old cross, I want you to listen to this, destroyed confidence in the flesh. He said the new cross encourages it. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, Paul had better sense than that. He said, where of the concision? He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? No confidence in the flesh. Preacher, what else do you see? I see it, we stand in awe of Calvary, not only the revelation. Jesus said, if they're going to do this in the green tree, can you imagine what it's going to be like later? In verse number 32, the Bible said, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The next thing I see as I stand in awe this morning of Calvary, not only the revelation that's being pictured, but the rejection that's being pictured. Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thank God Almighty, by his stripes, we are healed. Standing in awe. The rejection. Let me give you something, beloved. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Let's start reading in verse number 26. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 26. Calvary is special to me, not only because that's where I was saved, but on two different occasions. Brother Grizzle, that's where my ministry was spared. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean that I had made up my mind, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm throwing in the towel. And the blessed Holy Ghost led me to Gethsemane. And I walked with Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. By the time I got there, I had my towel wadded up and I put it back in my pocket. Bless the Lord, if he can go to Calvary, I can go for him. He said, "Preacher, what hurts so bad?" I tell you, rejection. You ever been rejected? Rejection. You see, we could put the emphasis on the nails. We could put the emphasis on the scourging. But I believe what's killing Jesus more than anything, he came into his own. His own received him not. He's being rejected. He's being rejected today by the multitudes in this world. Look at it with me in Matthew. I think it's chapter number 27 and verse number 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, we read that. When he had scourged Jesus, and we just go right on, then they delivered him to be crucified. You know what scourging is? I've often thought that I'm not going there. The Lord won't let me. But I believe if we hadn't even made it to Calvary, the place called Calvary, I believe if we just went with Jesus to where he was scourged, let's read it. He's beaten with that cat of nine tails and that pottery and the stone and the metal. It's jerking hunks out of his back. He said all of his bones stared at him. All of his joints were out of place. Well, I'll tell you something, beloved. If we can get back to Calvary, God can give us revival. If we could stand in awe once again, look at the next verse. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. I went to the prison yesterday, Brother Steve. As you go in today, after you go through the front desk right there, look on the left, and if that door's open before you go out into the yard, there's a place, and I just didn't understand it for a moment, and then I did understand it. I'll tell you what they do in that little room. That's where they strip search people. There's a little table with the paper on it, like in a doctor's office. I can imagine, beloved, listen to me, that would be humiliating. But it happens. Here they stripped Jesus, put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Let this preacher tell you one thing this morning. That's not the last time they'll bow their knee before him. The Bible said every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is the Christ. To the glory of God the Father. You can bow this morning, but you will bow sometime. The Word of God said, they spit upon him, took a reed, smote him on the head. Brother Steve, this is a terrible picture, ain't it? They're mocking him. He said, "Preacher, it can't get any worse. Let's read on." And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they give him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. You can read in the accounts of the crucifixion where they spit on him. You can read where they plucked his beard. Brother Preston's got enough beard to pluck this morning. Brother Roy, he's got enough beard to pluck this morning. I was looking for another beard. I don't see any. Anybody else got one? Oh, there's one. Brother Ike's got enough beard to pluck this morning. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't even want to be dry shaved, let alone somebody pluck. When my razor gets dull, it hurts. Somebody say amen. Let alone somebody jerk my beard out by the handfuls. Jesus is suffering rejection. I'm going to close with this thought this morning. Drop down with me if you would. The Bible said here, the people stood beholding him. The rulers also derided him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Let's look down at verse 39. What I want you to see now, I'm combining these two. We've looked at Revelation. I stand in awe of what's being revealed at Calvary. I stand in awe of the rejection. How could somebody be so blind? I told Mackenzie this morning, I said, "Mackenzie," I said, "honey, how old are you?" She said, 15. I said, "I'm so glad you trusted Jesus when you were 15. I said, "I could have saved myself a lot of scars and a lot of heartache. The one regret that I had when I was saved at 27 years old is that I hadn't gotten saved earlier. Why did I wait so long?" Well, the answer to that is I was blind. I couldn't see. But thank God the day came. The last two things I want you to see is repentance and reconciliation. I stand in awe that even at Calvary, God would allow a man to change his mind. The Bible said in one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" If you'll study your Bible, you all have heard me say this. At one time, both of these malefactors are doing the same thing. They're both railing on him. They're both rejecting him. They're both saying, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. But now Jesus has said, Father, forgive them. One of these men changed his mind. He changed his mind about two things. Number one, that's what repentance is. It's a turning about. It's changing your mind. Brother Brian, he said it to me often. It's something that Brother Mitchell preached that stuck in Brother Brian's heart. He said you have to take sides with God against yourself. And that's so true. He said, preacher, repentance, what does it... Well, he changed his mind, number one, about sin. He tells the other prisoner here, he tells the other man being crucified, you and I deserve what we're getting. I'm paraphrasing. It says there in the Word of God, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? In verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Where you're going today, Brother Steve, to preach to those men that are locked up in prison. They'll never get any help until they understand. Listen, it's not mama's fault. It's not daddy's fault. It's not my mama's fault or my papa's fault. It's not society's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. They need to look in the mirror, understand, and take, my friend, responsibility for their sin. This man, I stand in awe of repentance. He's changed his mind about sin. But he's also changed his mind about something else. That's the Savior. No longer is he saying, if thou be the Christ, but he says, Lord, remember me. It may not have come out like that. Brother Steve, I've studied about crucifixion and most of them, by the time it gets this far into it, can't even hardly whisper. Brother Rose, there may not have been anybody else present, even though John was standing there, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was standing there. There may not have been anybody else present that heard what this thief said, but I guarantee you there's one that heard what he said. When he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, you say those words are impressive. Jesus wasn't looking at his words, Brother John. He was looking at his heart. He had had a change of heart. I'm the sinner. And right there between me and that other guy that's just like me hangs the Savior of the world. I stand in awe. Not only of the repentance, he changed his mind about sin. He changed his mind about the Savior. But I stand in awe of the reconciliation. I have a goal in my life. My goal is to be a friend of God. Until I was able to make it to Calvary, I was an enemy of the cross. But on this side of the cross, I didn't say I'm always a friend of God, but that's a goal. That's a worthy goal, is to be counted a friend of God. Look at the reconciliation here. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me give you something, and maybe somebody can help me with this that's already gotten a hold of it and know for sure. I don't know for sure. But Brother Steve, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning, not only about the reconciliation of this thief, but I believe that this centurion Quite possibly. He says here that Jesus was a righteous man. If you look at Mark chapter 15 and verse number 39, he says, surely he was the Son of God. Surely this man was the Son of God. Listen to me, I cannot be dogmatic about this, and I won't be. But where I started this morning, the Lord led me to start, was in Acts chapter 10. Did you know that Cornelius was a centurion of the Italian band, the Word of God said? I thought about when I read that, Brother Anthony, did he play the bass or did he play? No, I'm just kidding. What if, let's just say it like that. What if, Brother Steve, that was Cornelius? God said, even in Acts chapter 10, that he was doing everything he knew to do. His prayers, his alms, he was giving alms. He was trying his best to live a righteous life. And God said, Peter, I have an assignment for you. I want you to go see Cornelius. Peter said, I can't do that. I'm paraphrasing, youngins, but he's a Gentile. He's unclean. God let old Peter fall in a trance, didn't he? Saw that sheet gathered up in the corners coming down. He said, don't you call anything that I've made common or unclean. I'm glad. Hallelujah. God is still taking the unclean, bringing them to Calvary, and making them clean. I'll never forget how clean that I felt the night that God saved me. How forgiven. Clean. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. The reconciliation. Have you been reconciled? Brother Steve, I need some help with this. I meant to look it up. John Newton, he wrote one of the songs, or maybe Brother Ralph, you know, but he wrote one of the songs that we sing all the time. Which one was it? It was Amazing Grace. I thought it was, but I wasn't sure, Brother Steve. I meant to look it up and forgot it. I'm going to close with this morning. Brother Wayne, you'll want this. John Newton, he lived from 1725 to 1807. Now listen, I believe there's more to preaching than 3 points in a poem. But this is a poem that John Newton wrote, the man that wrote Amazing Grace, that I want you to listen to every line. How many will do that? I want you to listen to every word, to every line. Think about Calvary, stand in awe. He said, in evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins, his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain. A second look he gave me, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that you may live. Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of his grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now, if filled, that I should such a life destroyed, yet live by whom I've killed. Brother, I believe John Newton knew the Lord. I believe John Newton, Brother Eddie, was standing in awe of an old rugged cross, standing in awe of a Savior that would give his life so that you and I might live. Let's bow for prayer this morning.